That's soothing. Welcome to the House Money Sports Podcast. I'm one half of your host, Wolfman Jay. We got the other guy from the other part of the tag team. We got Marty Jannetty over here from somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon line, at least wherever the Mason-Dixon line is.
I'm from Penn, Pennsylvania.
He's from south of that. Pennsylvania's like east, right? I think Pennsylvania's even northeast, so we might have to get a fact check on that. We might have to get the intern on that one. But but you're from the south.
West Kent, Tennessee.
You stick with that one. I hope you brought your chaw.
Moved
and your spittoon. And your Spurs.
You never know. I bought a saliva cup right here in case I get.
Did I even say your name? Shark Head? Did I even say that? The Shark Head is in the building here at 400 Lincoln Studios. Let's hear that, Jaws.
If that don't make you shake in your boots.
Yep.
Oh, shoot.
Just the way you say boots. Just the way that you say boots.
Oh, yeah.
This is an early edition of the House Money Sports Podcast. This is not, this isn't after dark. This is the first one that we've done in daylight in a while. But I want to talk about, definitely something that I want to talk about is the Vegas Golden Knights and what's going on with these freaking guys. What they're doing is amazing, and I really don't think it's getting as much coverage as it should, probably because of hockey. It's huge, man. And Vegas, like, and it's in Vegas of all places, so.
It's crazy to see a team come together like that off the bat.
Well, just touching on that, they must have some, like, sick chemistry. Like, they must have just brought all the right pieces of the stew in the pot, and it just came out tasting great.
It's not easy to do, man. It's not anybody in professional sports knows that's not.
They came right. I mean, so well. Let's start with So we're gonna talk a little hockey, and then we're gonna bring something else at you. Maybe we'll talk about Rambo, something like that. Maybe whatever. Baseball. We got the Crosstown Classic this weekend, so we might touch on that. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, what can you really say? You know, but
we can talk about that whole Kogan Ultimate Warrior
WrestleMania
fight I watched earlier at lunch break.
WrestleMania.
You ever get bored on lunch break? That's the best. Just pull up some like late 80s,
bro,
early 90s.
If
wrestling.
I ever do that, I end up in a 4-hour rabbit hole.
Oh yeah,
that I never get out of.
I can only tell you the second link because after that I got lost. And the second one was said Stone Cold Steve Austin stuns everyone, and he stunned like 12 people in a row. And I was getting excited. I mean,
Stone Cold will stun everyone.
Stone Cold, I had to click on it. From there, I was lost in YouTube.
Yeah.
Like an hour later.
You're in a trance and you come out dazed and you don't know where you are and you don't know. You might be fired.
I grinned for getting paid for doing that.
Yeah, but then I think, like, is anybody tracking what I'm doing? Because first of all, I'm going to get fired. Second of all, they're going to laugh at me for what I've been looking up for an hour.
That's why phones are badass. Because I just do it on the phone ski.
Yeah, like, are they gonna sit me down and say, listen, you look at wrestling for 3 hours.
They might take my phone over.
So, yeah.
I mean, the world will come from me and my phone detail at some point.
We don't even want to focus on the fact that you haven't been doing work. We're going to focus on what you've been looking up.
See, I do work, though. I just, like, watch WrestleMania while I'm testing shit. Like, I mean, maybe they're going to tell me not. But...
Well, WrestleMania 6, Hogan Warrior was the best wrestling match of all time. But we got to talk about that. Note that down. We'll talk about that.
That's a later episode.
That's a later episode.
Maybe way too much beef on that episode.
Yeah,
right,
maybe an episode all to itself. But let's, I really want to talk about the Vegas Knights and what they have done.
Well,
now,
talk about it, Wolf, man. What you
expansion
got?
Expansion draft. So this is the first year that they have been in, this is their inaugural season. They weren't a franchise before this. They didn't move. They didn't relocate. They weren't the Seattle Supersonics moving to OKC. This is a franchise that was born out of the dust of the desert.
Fresh baby.
And, yeah, fresh baby, you know, this is straight up brand new franchise. So, Grizzly D and I touched on this, the last big episode that we had where Grizzly D was in the house, and I wanted to clear up exactly how the NHL expansion draft works. So what are the rules? Like, so you get, so every team gets to keep a certain amount of their position players. So they get to keep their point guard, they get to keep their, oh wait, that's not hockey positions.
Point, oh, we got point guards and power.
What's Patrick forward? Kane? He's like a wing or something?
He's a wing.
Okay, so they get to keep like what, seven? Or they get to keep
four? He's forward? A forward, I think. I think as a forward is he'd be a wing.
Patrick Kane. Yeah. So that's just an example, right? So but they get to keep what, seven defensemen?
No.
If you
offensive men.
Yeah, well they get to keep they basically, they got to keep whoever they wanted on
seven,
their team.
Each team got to basically, like, protect seven forwards, three defensemen, and one goaltender.
So they basically...
Eight skaters, one goalie. Each team got to basically say, like, a keeper. Almost turned it into, like, a fucking keeper league.
Every team in the league.
Every team. That's what I'm saying. Hockey became a
keeper
league.
So then they threw their scraps.
You got to keep your eight guy, you know, your eight
right.
forwards, defensemen, and your one goalie, like... You get to keep your one defense and your fucking four, you know, it was a keeper league, you know, and then they got to basically pick out of the leftovers.
And they're starting in like the 10th round with whoever's left.
I mean, yeah, all of the top 150
players are
kept. Well,
let's
take this to a real league. I was talking fantasy, but so 30 times 8, you know, the top 300 guys are already basically gone off the board. So they're starting in the 200s around that. And the team they put together, for them to gel the chemistry, it is...
Well, so let's talk about that because... So they started in like... Okay, so they got to pick from the scraps that the other teams didn't want. They got to raid the garbage of the NHL and put together a team. So... There's no superstars on this team. And the other rule was, like, they couldn't drop players that had no trade clauses, anything like that. So, basically, they're getting every team's, like, fourth best forward, you know, backup center. Like, I'm sure that whoever... So did they... They had to keep a goalie? Every team got to keep one goalie and drop the backup? Is that how
I mean, they didn't have... It's not like they were going to take one goalie from each team, right? They got to pick where they were going to get their goalie from. So, potentially, these guys would lose their team if they weren't picked, right? Because they only added one team. So, I mean,
yeah.
That's 30-some guys on a hockey team, I believe.
So, okay. So, this team...
So, they grabbed the guys they wanted, and the rest of the guys got to stay on the team so if they weren't picked.
Is this a team of, like, Falco? Like, the replacements? This is what we were talking about before, and that's pretty much, like... what it is. So this team of players.
So here's another interesting rule I could throw at you is they had to pick one player from each existing club. Like, so they had just like 30 guys and one had to be
from each team.
Yeah.
So it gets even.
That's one of the regulations.
Like, this becomes
that
even
limited
more.
Them, limited them even more.
It so this becomes more complicated.
Impressive.
Yeah, and more impressive.
And more impressive.
Wow. So, okay, so you take all that into consideration where they didn't get to pick any good players. They didn't get to pick from any good players. So they had to get the right ingredients of players, and they had to pick one of them from each team. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, let's talk about they finished the regular season at 51-24, and then, like, whatever ties. Like, however many ties would make up the full regular season. No other expansion team in the history across the four major sports, or across the three major sports in hockey. Can you call hockey the
Hell
fourth
yeah,
major
you
sport?
Can.
All right, so we'll call... We will. We'll call hockey the fourth major sport because we ain't putting soccer in that shit.
Fuck that.
Fuck soccer. This is America.
Football.
So...
I won't have it.
We know what the real football is around here. No expansion team in the four major sports, okay, has ever finished with a 500 record. Let alone go to the playoffs. No expansion team ever. The Florida Panthers in the NHL, whenever, like, I think 2003-ish, somewhere in there, they finished one game under 500. 33, 34, and like 5, right? So that's the closest that any team has ever come to that. Now, Okay, so in baseball, I think the best team was like the California Angels, and they finished 70-92. So we're talking about a team that finished 22 games under 500.
Not making any waves.
Like, how impressive is this run of misfits, of replacements going to at least what? Okay, right now they went from 500-1. They were the longest shot in Vegas odds to make to win the championship. The longest shot in the league. They were 500-1. The next closest was 200-1, and they're in the Western Conference Finals right now. And they're like it's down like it's 7-1. I think the only one with better odds is the Lightning. So right now they're the second favorite of the teams that are left to win it. That's incredible. That is one of the most incredible feats for a team that I have ever heard. Like, no team in its second year, very few teams in their second year of expansion, from their expansion year, ever have a winning season or make the playoffs. I think you had the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars in their second year. They both went to the playoffs. Jags went to the AFC Championship game. That was the year that Mark Brunell beat John Elway in the playoffs. And then they went and they played, or maybe Elway beat him. I don't know. But, yeah, so it's pretty incredible what they're doing. It's really incredible. What was the football team? Who had the best record in the NFL of NFL expansion teams?
Oh, I don't.
If you can give me that one, it's like, and we're talking real expansion teams, not relocated teams.
See, some people think that expansion draft was like rigged.
Well, yeah. So there's really like rigged. Like they gave them some good players to make them good, like.
They didn't protect certain players that they should have.
You know,
the thing is, like, a lot of people said it was rigged afterward and they were looking at it, but then when they went through these predictions.
Well, it's still at the beginning of the season.
They were predicted to be a shit team, right. And they were saying that this was going to be the worst NHL team that ever existed. but then there's people that are saying that was just pandering to the fact that they knew it was rigged and they wanted to basically take eyes
so
off
you're
the le- fact.
You're adding so another saying, layer. To this whole thing. Like, you're putting a whole... This changes everything.
People love conspiracy theories, right? I mean, so when you look into stuff, you know, there's all kinds of things. So they're like, oh, it's rigged. And then they're like, well, how can it be rigged if they're going to finish last, right? And then they're like, well, they're just saying they're going to finish last so that you don't say that it's rigged. Like, and then you're just going to be like, well, how can it be rigged? They're supposed to finish last. Seems like a little too big of a thing that...
It seems like Vegas wouldn't make that long shot of odds. Unless Vegas wasn't in on it, but... Right.
Well, that's what I meant. It's too big of a thing, like it...
They would lose a lot of money at 500-1. If it was rigged and they weren't in on it, they'd be pissed.
It'd be good to be the one man.
They would take a ride out to the desert.
Marty McFly would have rocked out that hot tip. I promise.
Oh, yeah.
Marty McFly's sports almanac...
That would have paid out. He would have been living... Yeah, he would have had a big screen telephone.
Big screen.
Even better than he had. Yeah, he would have rocked the big screen telephone, the fax machine.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, yep.
So I don't know. I doubt it. It looks like some of these teams. This isn't a normal thing. This expansion draft, you know, different things kind of happen. The rules kind of evolve. So it's like some people kind of said that they didn't protect certain guys just because of. You know, normal draft rules and contracts, and they were just planning their future around this. You know, I mean, it's kind of a whole different thing. You have to adapt for that year. Like, it's not how you normally are going to be functioning as a team. So they just said, like, maybe a lot of teams didn't really know how to, like, maybe they didn't judge it best or do this the best way. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to buy into it. I like to just look at that team and just, like, appreciate what they're doing, really. And, you know, hope they can keep on riding that out.
Way to take a chainsaw through the feel good. You just cut right through that rainbow.
Everyone's gonna try.
Greatness.
Everyone's gonna try. That's what
but
I'm
you need
saying.
To know. That's something that you need to know.
There's always these people on that the is. Back end trying to.
Grizzly D checking in here. He's telling me that the Orioles are getting rocked in the first inning again. Another grand slam. This one by Seager and the Mariners. So
they tried to pitch Dylan Bundy again. Jesus, what are they doing?
Two games. That they might as well.
Team. There's only two men on the All-Buxton team
so
right
far.
Now.
Addison Russell's getting close. He's got a couple days to save himself against the Sox this weekend. Let's talk about...
You want to talk about the crosstown rivalry coming up?
What is there to really talk about? We got one team that's expected to compete. We got another team that's tank. Are they still tanking or what? Are they not tanking? Are they tanking?
They're not tanking.
Or are they just at the point where they're done tanking, now they're trying to develop some guys, see what they have?
I don't think they're tanking, but like...
Tank's over?
Try to get into the head of the situation. Like, if you were on a team... If you were on a team and the previous year, you basically unloaded any, you know, guy that had proven talent, you know, the experience, any veteran that had... proven ability to contribute.
Except for Avisail Garcia.
He was not even a proven. He was not even a proven asset. He, coming from a Sox fan, Avisail Garcia basically sucked most of his career. He looked pretty terrible and out of sorts. He just looked overwhelmed by Major League Baseball for the first 3 to 5 years he was in the league. Then he broke out.
Did you say Avisail Garcia in a Southern, with a Southern accent? Yes.
I'm saying Latino, Cuban, accent. Venezuelan, and Spanish names.
A Latino and a Southern
Tennessee,
accent.
My Western Tennessee accent.
That sounds...
And that's on accident. But...
This guy's from Belvedere, folks. North side of Chicago.
But even as a Sox fan, you weren't buying Avisail Garcia last year. I mean, you liked it. Like you said, at that point, even I was like, you know, this guy's got the best value. He needed to go.
Trade him high.
But maybe they thought that, you know, he'd become the guy that had reached that potential. I just thought he just got, you know, he got hot, he got comfortable, he got into the zone a little bit. And I don't know if he's ever going to do as good as he did last year, which wasn't great, but 320.
Why he should not be on that roster?
He shouldn't be.
Your guy, general manager.
What, you talking, talking to Han?
Oh, yeah.
Talking to Han?
Yeah, like, he dropped the ball on that one. Avisail Garcia should be...
Maybe no one else was buying on him either,
Who should
though.
He be right now? Avisail Garcia should be like... He should be like Dan Vogelbach. Somebody.
That's the thing is, he had...
Maybe not Dan Vogelbach.
He had the
but
year,
you know
though,
what I'm
man.
Saying.
He had a real good year last
year. He had a real good
so.
Year, but he wasn't like... Was he going to be part of the shit moving forward?
You started to wonder. I mean, you got to give a guy a chance. I mean, that was tough to believe it, you know? To me, 3-4 years shitty years and one good year, tough to buy that. Like, I like
to be the next Miggy, so maybe
I like
they
to have
thought
a short,
that he was arrived.
Oh, well, they were calling him Little Miggy. That's just because he was training under...
Liggy Miggle. I like Liggy Middle a little
about,
better.
I think they were calling him Miguel Maguera. Miguel Cabrera. Little Miguel Cabrera, dude.
They call him Liggy?
Now I just got my son's name.
Miguel, there it is, firstborn.
Ligel.
Liggy. I'll call him Liggy.
I'll
call him Little
Liggy. Move past Avisail, though. I mean, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be a part of it, but playing
on
a team.
He's going to be playing this weekend at Wrigley.
He'll be back. He'll be back, and I won't be worried about his actions too much, but... If you're playing
Who's
on a pitching? Team...
Can we get Giolito in that series?
He'll probably
Please
be
tell
in
me.
There.
I know it's not... Well, Lopez
I know you don't
want to
see Lopez, but Lopez pitched yesterday, so he ain't pitching until Monday or Tuesday
Good.
Next week.
So that's the one guy that I wanted to...
You'll probably get Big Game Shield. You get some bad practice.
Big Game man. James.
Y'all got the Marlins
Bro,
and the Sox right
James
at the right
Shields
time. Y'all got the Marlins and the White Sox at the perfect time.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're coming right into the schedule that we needed to have.
Right, yeah,
but
that's what
Big Game James, dude, he's a fucking gamer. Like, he's got, like, he
well,
just
they call him Big Game.
Nutsack.
He's in a rough spot.
All
but
over.
That's what I'm trying to say, is being on this team when you know you're not competing.
That
you've
fucking
unloaded
boxy,
all,
dude.
You've unloaded all the talent. Now you're kind of like a bunch
Shields
of random...
He ain't giving nothing.
You're a bunch of random dudes trying to figure out... You know, what your role is and who's going to step up. Like, so it's like, there's no, like, true identity to this team. It's a bunch of random players. They're not really a team right now, right? Half their dudes that
well,
are going
to
be in, I believe.
Well, they don't expect to win, but are they're still not trying to lose.
That's what I mean. They're not tanking, but they're a team that's in no man's land. They're not a team. They're a bunch of players where some of their dudes, I believe, that are going to be on a part of this team are in Double A, some are in High A, some are in Triple A. I mean... They're just scattered about, right?
I want to see the crosstown. So, I would rather watch the Birmingham Sox play the Cubs this weekend at Wrigley.
Yeah.
With
I
Eloy.
Mean,
actually, no.
To be honest, of the rebuild, they've
I don't
got two.
See Eloy
the
Sox
really have maybe two, three guys up right now that are going to be a part of this.
Tim Anderson, Yon.
Well, he'll be a part of it, but I mean, Tim Anderson was here a long time ago. You know, he's not really
Reynaldo.
A part of the rebuild, really. I mean, he's.
Dude, your guy.
But Reynaldo, Giolito, and Moncada. is really the only three guys that you can really look at for the future right now. I mean, maybe Rodon, he'll be coming back in about a month or so. But
that, man, that guy's forgotten.
Oh, definitely not.
Is he on the Buxton? Is he getting close? Like, he's looking at that Buxton team pretty hard.
He could be on the Buxton team, but he's different than the Buxton team because he's more on like the injury train, because that dude showed signs of greatness. Like, when he pitches, he generally does pretty good. I mean, he'll have a couple rough outings, but I mean, Rodon will give you three good outings and one bad outing, you know, and that's just, he's still young. He's still, you know, young in his career.
That was out, that was outings, folks. No G. Outings.
Outings.
That's outings from Rodon. But yeah, but yeah.
But if he could stay healthy and you'd get to see, he might join the Bucks and team. He might find his potential. You don't know. You don't know. But this series is going to be interesting. It always is. I mean, the Sox are obviously going to be scrapping, trying to get, you know, they're probably going to have a little bit more team and desire into winning this game.
Well, yeah, cross yeah.
Cross-town series brings a little extra ante, right?
Yeah, they'll be a little bit more hype. They're going to want to win. They're not just going to, yeah, this is have a little more meaning for them.
I think the Sox mostly are just looking at individual performances, trying to work things out.
Yeah, right? they want to see what they got. Is Ricky Renteria going to be there? You know, what do they got with him?
I think he should be, right? I think Ricky Renteria...
Is he the guy that, like, he's there for the rebuild, and then they bring in somebody when he gets... Why? They get good?
Why do you think that I think Ricky Renteria is the guy to have there?
I don't... Because he speaks Spanish? I don't know.
Communication, dude.
Well, that's
how
what they need.
How many guys have they got that can't talk together? He's the guy that's got to bring them together, right?
Maybe that's the one, because you got...
Well, that's how Ozzy was, too. Ozzy had a bunch of, like, dudes that didn't, like...
You got Coop?
LSA and what?
Yeah, Coop talked to the white guys. You got Rick to talk to this Spanish guy.
He's a veteran manager. He seems to know how to handle the guys. The guys seem to respect him and follow his lead. Like I said, obviously, he's the bridge. He's able to communicate with everybody. Doesn't, you know, it's like some of the, I mean, baseball players, I wish I would have learned a second language, because I would have loved to be a baseball translator. I'll just follow Eloy Jimenez around, and I'll repeat what he said.
I would apply, like, for that job.
If I would have known this was a job to get.
It'd be a great job.
I would have started in Spanish in seventh grade, and I'd still be in Spanish. I would just follow around Yon Moncada and just whisper English.
You'd get to go to a lot of baseball games speaking Spanish.
I never thought about that. What Yon Moncada say, man? Be like, you know.
Some cool shit.
Chupacabra.
Like, if you really want to know, Yon Moncada said some really cool shit. Because first of all, his name's Yon Moncada.
You love his name.
And second of all, yeah, I mean...
He's going to be good. He looks like a dude.
Look at his fucking...
Well, his plate discipline is getting better metrics by, like, the fucking game. He's getting comfortable.
His plate discipline is good. First of all, Yon Moncada looks like Yon Moncada should look, which I'm glad of that. But second of all, if you look at his metrics, he swings and misses at more balls in the strike zone than any player in baseball. Or at least he did a week ago. But he does that. So that means for a young player, he knows his strike zone, he doesn't expand it, and he'll start making contact on that 40% that he misses in the strike zone. And fuck his batting average. Look at his weighted OBA, his BABIP, and there's way better.
Oh, his plate discipline is proven. He's looking comfortable. He does have games where, like,
he falls off. There's so much to talk about with the Sox. There's really nothing to, like, the Cubs are just like, yeah, you know, we got our typical outfielders that can't hit, or we got our typical, like, one, they can hit, they can't field, they can field, they can't hit.
I feel like the Cubs are struggling to find hitters everywhere.
There's always that.
Thank God your boy Schwarber showed up this year.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant's back.
He's not broken anymore.
Rizzo's over 200 way before you thought. So, I mean.
Grizzly D1 now.
They got some guys started to play. I mean, Rizzo, Bryant, if Schwarber can keep on hitting. You think his fielding's going to be all right. I'm calling it suspect.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll accept suspect for Schwarber's fielding. But I don't think it's as bad as everybody else.
The Cubs do have an interesting team. They really do. They do get these suspect hitters that are great fielders.
They're in this place. The Cubs, I'm going to tell you what's... I am going to explain to you the issue.
Break it down. You got about three, four minutes. Right. I got to head to softball.
All right, so this... Wolfman. Okay, I'm glad you gave me a time limit, because I can go. I can talk about.
You got
this.
About 3 minutes. Before I saddle the Keith.
We got
up
some
myself.
Slow pitch. You got to put that grizzly wintergreen long cut. You got to. I know you're gonna put some chaw in. You got to with the accent, with the southern draw like that. Cubs.
Red man.
Is it red man?
It's red man.
So the Cubs issue is they got all these homegrown
gas mart near you, Redman, for all your fucking dipping needs. You want to speak a southern accent? Get you some red,
chew some red man or fuck you.
You ain't got to go to West Tennessee. West Kent, Tennessee. You ain't got to. So, go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Red man.
Go ahead with these Cubs.
We accept cashier checks, money orders. You can just write it all in one. We'll split it up three ways.
Link card's good. Link card's real good here. Give me a 3-minute rundown on the Cubs, sir.
Okay, well, I was just going to say.
Give it. I'm curious.
Well, I was going to go. The red man threw me off. The issue with the Cubs is they're locked into this team with fan favorites and question marks that are still the same question marks from like 2 or 3 years ago. So they thought they would have everything figured out by now, but they don't know who Addison Russell is yet. And this is his third year in the big leagues. He started since day one. They still don't know what kind of hitter he is. But he's also a fan favorite because they won the World Series. Then you got Javi Baez.
And he had some damn clutch hits in the World Series.
And he did. He had a couple Grand Slams. So do you trade the guy that hit Grand Slams in the World Series?
I know. Like you said, that's what they're locked into. The guys that won the World Series for him, how do you let them go?
Well, yeah.
Especially after 100, you know, that's a special.
Are they good, though? Like, okay, so they won a World Series.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think they're good at all. They look terrible.
I've been fighting with this. Well, yeah, I mean. Hey, listen. I'll entertain the Sox rebuild, you fucker. But make no mistake, we already have a World Series. You're at the ground floor. And we're in the penthouse. I mean, we're still in the penthouse looking down. But
this guy forgot about 2005
well,
for some reason.
That's,
he's acting like he's got me beat on World Series.
Well, I'm just talking parallel right now. Yeah, yeah.
Don't.
Well, we both have won World Series since 2017 or something like that. But only one of us has won World Series thrown. Shoeless.
Shoeless didn't throw anything. I'm pretty sure he's got the highest batting average in World Series ever. Shoeless. He batted like 400.
I heard from my sources that he booted some balls that he normally could have got to.
He batted 430 some shit.
This homeless guy one time in Chicago told me that he was alive.
How much money?
And this was in 2002, and he told me that Shoeless Joe Jackson did throw the World Series.
What if that homeless guy was Shoeless
And
Joe
I gave
Jackson?
Him, I gave him a Four Loko. For a Four Loko.
I can't believe you did that to that poor homeless man.
Anyway. And I bought it at the 7-Eleven at Wrigley Field, and he told me that Shoeless Joe Jackson threw the World Series.
Crazy lives as is, and you threw a Four Loko into that mix?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What did he do later that day? He, like, I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, whatever his name is, he probably had a good day. I'm going to say I did him a favor.
The one good thing about a homeless guy,
he'll
wake up, and he's not going to be confused about where he's at, because that's the same thing every morning.
Versus exactly.
A normal person has a Four Loko, God knows where they're coming out of.
Exactly.
That.
Like,
the homeless
you're gonna
guy's just like, ugh, same thing, except I'm hungover as shit.
He earned that Four Loko, though. He had an awesome story. I went in and bought it for him. He said the other players, too. But, yep, let's wrap it up. That's what we got for this abbreviated-ish edition of that. But, yeah, how about those Vegas nights? Sunday, we're gonna talk about all kinds of shit. We're going to bring the all-Byron Buxton team. If you know anything about Byron Buxton, he was like the number one prospect in baseball for 5 years. Talk about that. What else do we got there? Did I say Shane McMahon?
Struggling players. We got a little section coming up called Shark-Infested Waters. We're going to talk about guys that are...
We'll have some sound effects with the
these
sharks.
These guys are really flirting with, you know, not being professional ball players anymore, any way you look at it, you know? Just guys on the brink of...
Is that the Byron Buxton
team? That's the Shark-Infested... That's kind of close to about that.
That's a good... that's kind of close to that. So we can kind of associate those two somehow. But I think we should leave the Buxton team by itself and just fucking
go. Oh, yeah.
What else do you... What else
is
that
special?
You know what I want to do?
Team.
I want to talk about the Chicago Bears draft picks numbers. I've been lobbying for this topic since the draft happened.
Jersey numbers.
I'm determined to make these fucking guys talk about the rookie jersey numbers for the Bears.
Jersey numbers.
That's coming at you Saturday. Sunday. I'm calling that one.
Sunday, we'll come at you with some coverage on that...
Chris Gardocki.
On that Boston... That Boston-Cleveland game. We'll come at you with some updated coverage on that. Predicting...
Game one's going to be awesome.
Cleveland
game
coming
one.
Out, probably winning game one on that one. We'll see how that goes.
That's going to be an awesome game, man. That's going to be the game. Yep, and then we got all that and more. So, yep, check us out. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out, check out the podcast. We do advertising. We'll advertise anything. We have no, what is it, morals? Not morals. We have no something. Go ahead and tell us what you want. All right, so that's it. We'll see you Sunday. Grizzly D will be back in the house. And that's Sunday is Mother's Day, so it's a little iffy right now, but it'll be sooner than later. So we'll see you then.
Mookie Betts just hit a home run to lead the game off. Man. Jesus Christ, that
Marcus Betts.
Marcus fucking Betts.
All right. That's it. Go play softball. Sock a couple dingers and we'll see you guys later. We need a sign off.
Peace.
Boom.
He didn't hit a home run, but